Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. And they are also the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention. We'll be talking about that later. Our guest tonight is Dr. Piero Calvi-Parisetti. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Bob?
And it's our great pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Piero Calvi-Parisetti. He's an Italian-born Scottish author and speaker. He's a medical doctor with a scholarly passion for psychical research, especially for the study of scientific evidence pointing to survival of human personality after bodily death. He has authored several books on the subject. I might as well tell you what they are: 21 Days into the Afterlife, Adventures in Psychical Research, and Apparitions, Proof of Survival. He developed an original patient education approach directed to those who suffer because of the loss of a loved one and those who are in fear of their own impending death. Love Knows No Death is his project, which he graciously donated to Forever Family Foundation. It's helped a lot of people all over the world. And it introduces the concept of a self-help workbook with an accompanying video course based on this approach. His latest project involves personalized grief and bereavement counseling based upon the continuing bonds approach. And importantly, Piero sits on the scientific advisory board of a Forever Family Foundation. His website is drparisetti.com, and it's drparisetti, P-A-R-I-S-E-T-T-I.com. Welcome, Piero.
Hello, hello, Bob. How very nice to be here.
A pleasure to speak to you again, and I know that some of our listenership may be familiar with you. You've been a guest before. You've also presented at various lectures and events for the foundation. But for those who aren't familiar with you, let's start off with a little background about yourself, and specifically, what brings you as a medical doctor with all this interest in afterlife stuff?
Okay, yes, I think this is the third time that we actually speak on the radio. It's really a pleasure to be back. I always have feedback after our talks. Some people write to me and they say that they enjoy this, so really a pleasure as ever. So as you correctly say, I am a medical doctor, and I stress this because it gives a little bit of the background. When I say medical doctor, I mean a Western-educated medical doctor. I have an MD, and I have a master's in public health. And at the beginning of my career, I worked in humanitarian affairs. I managed large-scale humanitarian relief operations for the Red Cross, International Red Cross to begin with, and then for the United Nations. And then in around year 2000, I moved from the field operations to the classroom, and I took up a late academic career. And for about 17 years, I have been a lecturer at university. And I say all this, I tell this story about my background because it stresses what I said before. I'm a Western educated medical doctor. It means that I was taught to believe that anything that can possibly exist is matter. If you cannot touch something, if you cannot measure something either directly or with or with the instruments that we use in science, things simply do not exist. And that is the premise of materialism, a materialism that I accepted quite non-critically. I took it for granted. And I had a sort of, you know, contempt for religions and religious people, and let alone for anything that is, you know, paranormal and ghosts and survival of personality, really did not fit with my worldview. And all that, funnily enough, and this is a story that I've told many times, all that was to change one day, I think it was 2004, when my wife, Angela, we were living in Switzerland, in Geneva at the time, and Angela told me a story, a little episode that had happened to her when she was a late adolescent here in Glasgow. And it's actually a spooky story, as a wrapping story, something that probably many of our audience are familiar with, at least in terms of anecdotes. And it is something, Bob, that, you know, if anybody else had told me at the time, I would have shrugged off with, you know, a smile and say, oh, how nice, how interesting. And that would have been it. But, you know, Angela is the person that I know best and the, whom I trust most. And I could see that, I could tell that after all those years, she was still perturbed by this experience. And so I said with that stiff upper lip that I had then, I say, let me see if anything serious has been said or written about all this, you know, funny things. And well, that set me off on a path, on a journey of discovery, because I came across initially this book, and I always quote it because it was really a big turning point in my life. This book by Professor David Fontana, a late professor of transpersonal psychology. I say late because he died quite prematurely a few years ago. And this guy was hyper-credentialed, very credible, you know, an academic psychologist. And his book was called Is There an Afterlife? A Review of the Evidence. And those were 575 pages that literally transformed my life. Because here was somebody that for me was completely credible, which embarked in a very detailed analysis and review of the evidence for survival of personality. And I always use the same expression in saying that those 575 pages of the initial book were then followed by about 30,000 and counting, because I keep reading and studying and researching. When I say researching, I always make the point that I'm not a researcher in as I do not produce original material, but I'm a scholar. I'm a student of psychical research. And so after reading and educating myself this much, after becoming a member of various, you know, scientific research, professional research organizations like the Society for Psychical Research in the UK, the International Association for Near-Death Studies in the US. I went to conferences and study days. I even trained personally with one of those whom I consider an intellectual hero. That's Raymond Moody, that I'm sure most of our listeners will know, the Raymond Moody of NDE research. And after this complex and at times not that easy process, I found myself in a completely different, I'd say that process of learning and examining the evidence, I found myself in a different place. A place today whereby I am convinced that mind, consciousness cannot be reduced to the electrochemical activity of the brain, and in a way that we do not understand, significant aspects of human personalities do survive the death of the physical body and are in certain cases capable of interacting with the material world that they've left behind. And this is the position that I now hold. And I hold it not as a faith, not as a belief based on faith, not because I've read it in a holy book or because I had any revelation. This is what I called a rational belief, that is a belief based on the knowledge, the critical evaluation of facts. And with this, I conclude this. I apologize for the long introduction, but I hope it's somehow interesting to know where I'm coming from with all this.
It's fair to describe your belief in an afterlife, not based upon faith, but based upon an examination of the empirical and anecdotal evidence. I mean, it's rational to believe in survival based upon what you've learned. Is that a fair assessment?
Very, very correct, absolutely. And what I wanted to conclude with is that this rational belief is always open to be challenged. And it's my own intellectual honesty. I owe it to myself. I owe it to my readers. That should I ever come across evidence or explanations other than the survival of personality, then I will be compelled to change my position, because as I say, this is not a faith, this is something that is always open to be challenged. I do not believe I will find much in a way of, you know, alternative explanations, but at least I am open to that possibility.
Right. Listen, we know you personally. I'm proud to call you a friend. I know you're a friend of the foundation. You've done a lot of work for the foundation, and you talked about your humanitarian work. And to us, there was no greater gift than donating the project that you literally worked thousands of hours on, you donated it to the foundation out of the simple request that we expose it to as many people as possible to help people that are bereaved. So can't thank you enough for that. What about, you call it applied psychical research. When you say applied psychical research, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is a term that we use in various branches or fields of science and investigation. There's fundamental science, fundamental research that looks at the phenomena per se and tries to understand what we're talking about and describe the world and make hypotheses and test theories. And then there's applied science. Applied research that takes the results of that fundamental research, those fundamental studies, and seeks to apply them to solve practical problems. And so this is something that has happened to me relatively early in my own self-educational process, because, you know, as you correctly said, I have an inborn desire to help. That is a trait that I'm very happy to have, I must say, because it fits with with the person I would like to be. And it turns out that I am that kind of person. As a doctor, as a former humanitarian, the desire to be of help to others is a fundamental personality trait for me. And so earlier on in my what I call my self-education process, I realized that I was learning could be of great help to the person who are in pain because they've lost a loved one, or to those who are in fear. And this is a category of people that we tend to forget, that there are quite a few people who live in a petrifying fear of death in anticipation, either their own or the death, the impending death of a loved one. And so the fact that we die as a body, but we, the real us, survives, the real us meaning our personality, our consciousness, our awareness, our affections, our history, our memories, seems to survive the death of the body, is a great message of hope. And I understood that it can be of great help to those, as I said, who are either in pain or in fear. And that was the foundation upon which the Love Knows No Death project was created. And I'm very happy. I keep having good feedback, and people approach me and say that they have found the method useful, this combination of the workbook plus the 8 hours of video course. And through that project, what I'm trying to do is to take people on the same journey of discovery that I've had myself. So let's look systematically and critically at about a dozen fields of investigation fields of investigation providing evidence for life after life, and let's build together the same rational belief in life after life.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I know that you have recently embarked upon what I would call a unique form of individual counseling to the bereaved. So when we come back from break, let's get into that a bit. So stay with us, and we'll be back with a couple of minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest this evening is Dr. Piero Calvi Parazzetti. Our sponsor tonight is Starseed Gems, and they are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And before the break with Dr. Parasetti, we were talking about a form of individual counseling to the bereaved. So, Piero, tell us a little bit about this.
This is something that I started doing some time ago, and that was actually prompted by a request that I've received from people directly. This is not something I had thought about myself to begin with. And I started engaging with a few of these initial clients, and this turned out quite well. And people generally felt that I had made good progress, and I have felt that I have learned a lot. So recently I decided to offer this publicly. And mind you, I do so on a strictly limited scale, though. You know, first of all, I remain essentially a scholar, as I say, a writer and a speaker. That's where I invest my afterlife time, if you want. And secondly, since I'm convinced that every loss is unique, just as every person is unique, I don't want to get into that assembly line mindset, which I'm afraid is all too common in counseling and psychotherapy. I want to remain focused. I want to make sure that my clients remain individual people and do not become numbers or files or, you know, case studies. For that, I generally take no more than 4 or maximum 5 clients at a time.
So, I mean, how does that work practically? I mean, you live in Scotland. I know you have people that come to you from all over the world. So, how does that work in counseling from a logistical
It's interesting too. At the moment that I can remember, but I have a person from Israel, 2 persons from the United States, and funnily enough, a person from Glasgow. Even with a person from Glasgow, I use this e-therapy modality that's becoming increasingly popular. Basically, I interact with these clients either by video conference through Skype, for instance, or via email through a dedicated, completely secure email platform, a server. And in fact, if I must say the truth, I do prefer the email modality because it allows both the client and myself to time to fully reflect on the issues. We both can explore and flesh out the concerns without those, you know, awkward moments of in-person interaction. There are no social concerns. There's no need for etiquette. And especially there's plenty of time. One does not need to think of one's feet, if you want. So e-therapy, online modalities, either by video conferencing or preferably through email.
So is this, what you would term as online psychotherapy, or I know you.
Yeah, I'm very hesitant, I must say, to use that particular definition. Yes, we've established that I'm a medical doctor, and yes, I happen to be a trained cognitive behavior psychotherapist. However, in my interaction with the clients, I do not aim to diagnose or to treat psychological or psychiatric conditions. My focus, Bob, is on people. People who are suffering after the loss of a loved one, as we say, and those often forgotten who are in fear of death. And I know what the effects, as we said before, what the effects of the knowledge and the critical evaluation of the evidence for afterlife can have on these people. These effects are invariably positive. Helping my clients either to develop or strengthen, to reinforce a rational belief in life after life is the mainstay of my approach. In a way, you can think of my online counseling as either an addition or a replacement of the love knows no death approach. Also, I've studied in quite some depth the theory and practice of the continuing bonds approach. And following that, I aim to help my clients to nurture a positive and evolving relationship with a deceased loved one. A deceased loved one who's no longer physically present, but very, very much part of the life of those who are left behind. So I think that what I do rather than psychotherapy is best described as grief recovery advice. I know exactly what those who recover both better and faster do, and I share this knowledge.
Yeah, and until you mentioned it, I was not familiar with continuing bonds, but when I read that you encourage, an evolving relationship with a deceased loved one, that, of course, was very appealing because a lot of traditional mental health professionals seem to do the opposite. They teach ways of coping and of separating from a deceased loved one. And secondly, I mean, I just like the term. I mean, the term continuing bonds implies that the connection is never lost, even after physical death. So tell us a little bit more about continuing bonds.
Yeah, but isn't this extraordinary, Bob? You as a bereaved person yourself and somebody who's so much active in helping others who've had a loss, I've not heard of continuing bonds. And I think this is dramatic in itself because that speaks volumes about the state of the traditional counseling that's been offered today. And the continuing bonds approach is evidence-based. Again, is something that looks, and we will look at this in a moment, it's easy to understand. It's an evidence-based approach that was born around the early 1990s. And when I say evidence, I say evidence and reality as opposed to theory. Because the problem we've had in psychotherapy and in particular in grief counseling for many decades is that people came up with their own big theories based on not much, actually in many cases based on absolutely nothing. And out of these theoretical frameworks, and they tried to impose these theoretical frameworks onto practice, onto reality. Take, for instance, the dreaded stages of grief. You know, everybody has heard of the stages of grief and Swiss psychiatrist Elisabeth Kubler-Ross. And we assume that that's the way things go in reality. Whilst, first of all, the stages of grief were not stages of grief. Kubler-Ross herself was quite incensed because her research was on dying children. The stages she initially described were the stages children who who were knew they were going to die, went through in sort of negotiating the idea, that the acceptance of the idea of they had to die. And so she said, I developed those for dying children, not for bereaved people. Nevertheless, this was taken and people ran with it. It's a simple model. It's easy to understand. So people ran with it, and this infected grief counseling, a cholera epidemic. And the results, no surprise, are unfortunately dismal. If you look at the state of the grief counseling community, there's a sort of a sense of despair, because scientific studies which evaluate the effectiveness of the traditional interventions show us that they don't work. People do improve, but they improve because of time and because of their own resources. And the stage model-based traditional interventions are useless at best and can be harmful in the worst circumstances. And this is no surprise, because they're based on a theoretical approach which is not rooted in reality. The continuing bonds researchers turn the thing exactly on its head. Instead of formulating a theory and then trying to impose the theory on reality, they took real people, real bereaved people, and they studied what do they do, what those who recover better and recover faster do, and out of that, they formulated a theory. So it's a theory based on practice rather than the contrary. And you may ask, what are these best practices? What is it that people who recover better and recover faster do? Let me open a quick parenthesis here, because one of the big shortcomings of the stages model is expecting that everybody should follow a set of rules, a particular timing in their recovery, whilst we keep saying that every person is unique, every loss is unique. So it's not that by looking at good practices in grief recovery, we want to impose a model on everybody. In reality, however, we see that the majority of people who recover well all across the world, regardless of culture, regardless of tradition, people do maintain an active relationship with their deceased loved ones. This relationship may take many different forms, typically evolves over time, but the deceased are very present, actively present in the lives of the living. And the research of this, of the developers of the continuing bonds approach, research shows that when this relationship is nurtured instead of being artificially suppressed, like, you know, you're expected to do, people feel much better. Research also shows clearly that when this relationship is accepted by the social environment where the bereaved person lives, the person fares much better. And this is what the compassionate friends do. And I know we had an exchange on this, and I understand that you perhaps don't necessarily share some of their approaches, but I mean, I've read research that have been carried out on people who participate in the Compassionate Friends meetings. And what turns out is that these are groups of bereaved parents, as you know, who come together to share experiences and to assist each other in their recovery process. And a crucial part of what they do is share their experience of how the children are still present in their lives, how they're talked to by their parents on a regular basis, how sometimes they make themselves heard, felt, or even seen Have we not heard this many times in our own workshops with the Forever Family Foundation? And then again, the relationship with these children and the compassionate friends who are not there physically, but are very present in the lives of their parents, evolves over time. Children, in most cases, even become teachers for their own parents. These children inspire the parents, and I have a person I'm working with now is telling me exactly the same. She took her the image of her deceased son as the motivator to do some quite brilliant charity work. And so, in essence, nurturing, I keep using this word nurturing because it's something that you have to nurture. The relationship with the deceased loved one is exactly what we do as the Forever Family Foundation as well. The difference for us is that we bring the afterlife perspective straight into it, and this is something that other groups don't do.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I know we have to go to another break, but you mentioned exactly on point. I mean, you're looking to, in your approach to nurtural relationship, to acknowledge the experiences instead of separation and isolation, and that's the key. So we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Piero Calbi-Parisetti.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calbi-Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, we have been talking to Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems. They are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the Second Biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention. And Starseed Gems can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for the latest events and happenings. Coming up free next month in October, on October 13th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, we have our online group meeting, the Visionary Explorers Group. And also on October 13th from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our afterlife discussion group physically meeting at the West Dade Regional Library in Miami, Florida. Also, mark your calendars for our annual winter grief retreat in warm and sunny Fort Myers, Florida, coming up January 4th through 6th, 2019. These weekends fill up early, so watch your emails for the super early bird announcements so you can reserve your member-only spot at the low cost to attend. Details and registration links will be on our website any day now. Don't miss out. Our next webinar is Mediums Behind the Scenes with Forever Family Foundation Certified Mediums Janet Nohavik, Gina Simone, and Doreen Malloy. It's set for Wednesday, October 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's $6, $20 for non-members. You may have seen the hashtag FFF Certified Medium videos or are currently following them via our social media hashtag. If not, check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. We are also hosting a special webinar only for medical and mental health professionals on October 29th from 9 to 10:30 p.m. You must be a medical or mental health professional to attend. It's called Assessing and Addressing Beliefs in the Afterlife, Competencies and Ethics, and it is presented by Beth Christofferson. Our biennial mediumship convention weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, that I keep mentioning, coming up on November 9th through 11th. Imagine spending a weekend with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have lots of fun things planned for the weekend, and unlike those pick-and-choose conventions, our unusual simple training includes both Friday night and Saturday night banquets, complete with entertainment and spirit communication, not to mention our psychic goodie bags. And following November comes December, particularly December 23rd, when we will draw five winners who will each win a reading with a Forever Family Foundation certified medium in our annual Holidays Past raffle. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti. We've been talking about a lot of things, including his new continuing bonds approach to counseling. Why don't we go to the phone lines and take a call? We have
Jeffrey. Edward.
Edward.
Yes, I have a question for Piero. And
Also
Bob Edward. What role, if any, do people who have natural psychic abilities play in the afterlife research you folks do?
Well, much like Dr. Parasetti, we don't conduct research, at least formal research, ourselves. I mean, our involvement, our focus is mainly on survival of after bodily death. So we engage with mediums, and one of the services that we provide is we conduct a medium certification program where we evaluate the evidence produced by mediums under controlled conditions. So, but we're interested in all psychic phenomena because, as Piero mentioned, if you believe that your mind can act independently of your brain, and you know the next, it's logical and plausible that something, whether you call it consciousness or soul, or whatever you choose to term it, continues after our brain disappears. So I don't know if that answers your question, but Piero did.
We don't do research ourselves, but there are institutions who do. And if you take, for instance, the Winbridge Institutes, are great friends and do an excellent excellent quality of work. They do use psychics. They do use research mediums, and they test them to make sure that, because they cannot, you know, run experiments with people who just say that they have psychic powers. They have their own certification process to become research mediums, and they test them and they use them in laboratory conditions, both for fundamental psychical research and applied psychical research.
So what I take it is then, Bob, your function primarily is to provide grief counseling and to assist people to consider the fact that life continues on.
Well, our you know purpose is really to is to educate the public. I mean, we're not. You know, we try to help the bereaved through information. So, I mean, we're interested in a wide variety of non-local phenomena where, you know, psychic ability, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communication, reincarnation, dream visits and all sorts of things. so you know, people find yep. the information helpful, but we're careful not to, as a foundation, we do engage. And Fran just mentioned we're having a webinar with a mental health professional geared to professionals in that area. So we believe that that's an important piece of educating not only the general public but the professional community to accept and learn about these things, because many people have never been exposed to it, and they just summarily dismiss it.
Difficult because all the different belief systems people have to accommodate them. You have to have a variety of approaches, I'm sure. And I appreciate you answering my question.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the call. Thank you, and have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks. Piero, so it's safe to say that the first with love knows no death, but now with the continuing, you know, bonds approach to counseling, that this is contrary to the prevailing approaches, is it not?
Yeah, it is indeed. It is indeed. It has a different theoretical foundation, a theoretical foundation which is... which is rooted in reality instead of theory that somebody thought up, and essentially different in its effectiveness, because we say that traditional approaches unfortunately don't have much to show in a way of effectiveness, whilst these non-traditional approaches do. And particularly, as I say, I mean, I see continuing bonds not that much of as an approach or a theory or anything. It's simply good practices. Let's look at what people who fare better. We know it's a sad reality. You've heard this, you have heard me saying this many times, that unfortunately there's a part of the pain of a loss which is incompressible. It cannot go away. There's no therapy, there's no belief system, there's no technique, there's no nothing. It is a part of who we are as human beings, and unfortunately is an experience that we have to go through. We also know that, unfortunately, a significant loss leaves a scar on the soul. The pain of a loss will be felt 20, 25, 30, it lasts a lifetime, 25, 30 years after. There still can be a pang of pain that's connected with a loss. However, we also know by research, we also know by looking at what happens to bereaved people, that people do recover. People do regain a more than acceptable quality of life. In many cases, a fully acceptable, a good quality of life, dotted by these pangs of pain, which, as we say, are inevitable. How do people recover? What do the people, I keep saying, who recover better and faster do? They maintain a relationship with the deceased person. The deceased person remains very present in their lives. And this is exactly, that is what is most opposite to the traditional approaches. The traditional approaches say you have to forget about that person and create a space so you can create new relationship. But this is not what people do. This is an artificial imposition and a very cruel one at that. How can you forget about a beloved spouse, a child, or a parent? You should not, and you do not in practice. In reality, people keep the deceased persons alive in their mental space, and we should encourage them to do so.
Yeah, and I'm going to, I know, unfortunately, we're running out of time, so if you don't mind, I'm going to just encapsulate what your approach, what you have to offer to your clients. I mean, number one, you help the bereaved person to develop a rational belief in life after life, or if they have one, to reinforce it. You help them define and develop and nurture that ongoing and evolving relationship with the deceased loved one. And thirdly, you help them to identify automatic, distorted, negative thoughts that contribute to wrecking their emotional life and look to correct that. And you're not talking about positive thinking, you're talking about non-negative thinking. So, and if people would want to get in touch with you, I did give you a website, drparisetti.com, and that's drparisetti.com. Is that the best way?
Absolutely. There's everything's explained there, the approach, the modality, and everything. And anyhow, if people are interested, through the website, they can send me an email, they can contact me. And what happens is that we schedule a free consultation, because I need to understand what the complaints are, what the person, what the client wants to work on, what he or she thinks are the main problem that he or she wants to work on, as I said. And based on that, and that's a free of charge initial consultation, I make a proposal, a counseling plan, and if the counseling plan is accepted, then we go ahead.
Well, and I know that because I've seen it, the fees are very reasonable as well. Piero, thank you so much for being with us tonight, and I know it's the wee hours of the morning in Scotland, and go get some sleep, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm about to hit the sack.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Diane Archangel, and Isabel Ginsberg. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.